You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation. In this episode, I want to make the claim that all marketers are not fit to make software recommendations for your business. Okay, so you can already kind of get the tone of where I'm going with this episode, but understanding this is going to save you tons of time, money, and frustration from putting the wrong tools in place for your business based on the recommendation of that good old marketer that you've entrusted. But before we jump into it, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. The All Systems Go podcast is available in every major podcasting platform and application, specifically Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we're on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe, check us out on YouTube, listen to the podcast there as well as other videos. And while you're subscribing, please make sure that you leave a 5-star rating and review. It helps us get the word out. And it helps establish this podcast as the bona fide podcast it is for marketing automation. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, do me a favor, listen to this episode in its entirety and promise me that at the end, if it was valuable, you will go on your phone, on your computer and leave a 5-star rating right there where the excitement and the value is fresh. All right. So let's jump into it. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an epidemic of large proportions amongst us, and it's been around for a while, I must admit. And if I were to say one of the largest areas that have plagued small businesses as they transition to digitize their business and move online, it is the topic of today. It's the error in judgment takes place on both the business owner side as well as the marketer. Okay. And what's happened is I've seen this issue arise erroneously more than I've seen it successful. And what happens is the process, the issue that I'm talking about is the process of marrying the proper tools with your strategy and business goal. People continue to get this wrong, and it's painful. It is painful to see it unfold live and in action. It's painful to hear about it retroactively, and it's painful to think about how many other businesses, how many more businesses will fall victim to this. And hopefully this podcast serves as a means of preventing that from happening. And this episode was actually sparked by a more recent Facebook post that I read online, and I see these all the time, everybody. If it's not that, it's an email or it's a text message from a friend. But this one was sparked from a post I saw on social media out of one of the marketing automation groups that I'm part of. And what happened is this person had purchased a tool, and it's probably because the tool was a good deal, you know, low price, whatever. And it had the absolute worst integration with their CRM of choice. Okay. And I just wrote this month's marketing automation report was all about the ways that third party tools integrate with your CRM. And I ranked the level of integration for each one of them. So make sure you check that out. I'll put the link in the show notes. But the worst one was a integration that only added a contact to a list. That's it. No tags, no custom fields, no add to an automation or workflow, no, you know, none of that. It is the most archaic integration. And honestly, any third party tool that is offering that as an integration should be ashamed of themselves, and they should recuse themselves from the integration space and just defer to Zapier. Like, if you're going to create an integration that poorly done, you'd be better off letting Zapier do the heavy lifting for you. So it's a shame that there are tools that actually integrate at the list level only. But even worse, people are using these tools. Okay. And I have seen this time and time again in various technical and marketing communities where people will try out this new no-name tool that does not enable them to build systems their business truly needs. So I want to describe what makes someone fit to suggest software or not. Because clearly, I wish it was a common theme with the people that I see make these mistakes. So I wish I could say, you know, if you're real tech savvy, you don't make this mistake. Wrong. I've seen people very tech savvy. In fact, I've known CEOs of SaaS companies that are very technical minded. One of the CEOs that I know was an engineer using probably the worst lead generation tool I've ever like. Maybe the tool wasn't bad, but how they were using it. Oh, it was horrendous. So it spans everybody. And it's so, I don't want to say random, but it's so unanticipated and hard to detect. So hopefully when I go through this list, if it's you, go ahead and disqualify yourself. It's OK. I'll tell you why that's OK. But for others who are listening, hopefully this helps you kind of identify who you're asking for tool recommendations and put them in the proper perspective or the proper context, their advice. So what makes someone fit to suggest software or not? First thing first is experience. OK, not just experience using a tool or the tool under question, but experience producing results with the tool. Those are two totally different things. In fact, that's an entirely different podcast episode talking about doing does not equal doing for results. Right. So there are a lot of people out here that know tools. They can say, hey, I know how to set up a landing page. Hey, I know how to set up a drip email sequence. Hey, I know how to put a shopping cart on your website. They know the tool functionally. But in the context of your business strategy, immediate need and results that you're after, that tool that they're using probably has no place. OK, so this is where experience producing results comes into play, because if I'm using a tool and I've used it successfully to produce a specific result, I know all of the variables and factors that are at play in order for me to produce that result with that tool. And I'll be honest, if I narrowed that someone could suggest only tools that they've produced results with. And let's talk about marketers. If I said, hey, marketers, you can only suggest tools that you've used and produced results with, like have actually made money with, their list would practically disintegrate. I'm not exaggerating. There are so many marketers that pride themselves on playing with technology, but not producing with technology. You know, there's a difference. You could look in these in all of these Facebook groups or social media communities, and you'll see a bunch of grown children when it comes to technology. We just love to play with tools. Hey, check out what I did. Hey, look at this. Look what I can do. Right. But playing with the tool is not producing with the tool. They're not the same. So the first thing is experience. Do you have experience with this tool? Show me. Right. Talk about some of the results that you produce with this tool. That's what I would ask the marketer. Right. Second is the ability to understand software from a user perspective. And oftentimes this user perspective is marketing contextually, as well as how the application actually works. And this is important because when you're suggesting software, you have to take into account not just the software, but who will be responsible for using it within the company. Okay. So if the platform is very difficult to use, but it's really powerful, and you know that the company that you're recommending the tool to, that their technical acumen isn't as high, you know, to really leverage the platform, then you have to take that into account and say, you know what, this, I know this tool could work for you, but I recommend XYZ, right? And it could, and it's okay if that reasoning is solely based on the user experience, right? So as a marketer, I often look at, you know, user experience twofold. Like I mentioned, one is, can I get in the tool, and really, does the flow make sense? You know, like, are the menus clear? Can I get to where I need to get to quickly? Or do I have to memorize the entire platform in order to do it? You know what I'm saying? So that's from a marketing standpoint, a usability standpoint. And then the marketing standpoint is, I know the flow that I'm trying to execute. Like, let's talk about the most basic setup in marketing is, opt into my list, I send a autoresponder email. So with that respect, how is the flow as a marketer contextually? You know, I need to fill out a form. You know, I need to create a form. You know, I may have custom fields on that form. You know, I have a thank you page that I need to redirect them to after they fill out that form. I need to attach it to some form of automation to send the email. How does that flow? How is that user experience, right? Putting in place some basic marketing processes. And if it does that poorly, it's not worthy of a recommendation. Because what I want to tell you all who are responsible for recommending software is that people are relying on your expertise. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, they are deeming, when someone asks you about, inquires about a tool and entrust your knowledge to guide them to the right tool to use in their business, that's a heavy load. It is. Maybe you didn't know that, but the results and the probability of their business to really be able to be digitized, their processes to be digitized, or if they're already digital, to scale, it's all on the tool selection, right? So good software with a bad user experience will produce bad results or require a large learning curve. And you want to be mindful of that, right? If the tool is tough to use, if I call it members only tools, right? You all know those tools that after you've been using it for 2 years, it seems so easy to you, like, oh, well, clearly, if you want to send an email, you have to go 5 levels in. And then actually, we don't call them emails. We call them one timers. And it's like, what is a one time? How would I know that? Unless I had the member's jacket and I've been using the tool for years. Right. So you want to stay away from that type of software for those of you who recommend it. Third is a natural inclination and affinity for the assessing process, I should say. OK. And what I mean is, if somebody didn't force you to, you just naturally gravitate to really looking at tools and assessing them and picking them apart. Right. And some people have it, some don't. This is where we draw the line. Everything I've said up until this point is kind of like, hey, keep this in mind. Listen, some people do not have this skill. Naturally, some are really good at assessing software and some aren't. I saw this trend. I saw this more recently in my daughter, everybody. I tasked her she's reading a book. You know, we're all doing the homeschool thing. And she's reading actually Essentialism. She's reading the book Essentialism. And I told her to take notes. So she goes and comes and shows me notes that she's printed off from her iPad. And the notes, the format looks very similar to how I would take notes. It's colorful. It's, you know, bullet pointed and everything. I'm like, wait a minute. I think my daughter has my brain, right? And then I look at the bottom and it says Evernote. So I just assumed that she logged in using one of my devices and, you know, like Evernote was already on there because I use Evernote, and she just started to use that. And I said, well, how did you learn about Evernote? She said, oh, I just did a research on all of the note taking apps. And that was the best one that was the one that I felt was the best. Listen, everybody, I was sitting in my chair. I almost fell out of it because so what I did is I pulled up Evernote on my computer and said, look, baby, I have hundreds and hundreds of notes in Evernote. And we both just kind of looked at each other. She giggled and smiled and ran off. It was nothing to her. But she kind of left me here. I'm just like, oh, I think she has it. I think she has the ability to pick out good software. Now, I've never taught my daughter this. And that's what I mean by some people just naturally have it. It's like an athlete. Some of them are just, they just get the game, right? They can score better than others. Certain artists, their pen strokes and paint strokes are just better. Some people have it. I do believe it can be learned, but it will never exceed the person who has it naturally. That's what you're going for. There's just certain brain types that get it, right? Like, I'm realizing this, everybody. I cannot say that I've always known this to be true. This is something that is proving more and more true as I operate in this vein. Okay, so there are certain people that just don't get it. And I need to say this because there's some marketers that feel like you have to be you have to do it. Some of you are good at marketing, but assessing all the types of technology you need to stay away from. And some professionals who don't have it should stick with a specific stack. Period. No shame. That's the thing. I think the shame comes when you try to be somebody that you're not. But if you know, like, you don't have that ability to just look at massive amounts of software, remember, think about user experience and producing results with them, and you don't have the client base to try it out on different businesses and really see how it works, there's no shame in that. You've got a specific stack. Stick with it. Say, hey, look, this is the stack that I use. You can still be successful. But others who have a more diverse and dynamic approach are going to be able to operate a little differently. And it's just different. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's different. And you have to be digital marketing professional listening to this. You have to be honest with yourself. Not just for your own sake, but for the sake of the business that you can potentially cripple. And lastly, I would say you have to enjoy the process. If you don't get excited to assess new technology and it feels like more of a task, you should not be recommending new technology or software. I've got friends. It's funny. I'll call out the tool that they're using, but I won't call them by name. I got friends in the Entreport community that have been using Entreport for years. And they've mentioned, hey, I want to migrate eventually, you know, whatever. Right. And the idea of learning a new tool is so overwhelming to them. They stick with Entreport. Did I say Entreport or Infusionsoft? I can't remember. But I meant Entreport if I said Infusionsoft, everybody. They use Entreport. And you could tell the strong desire is there for them to use a different tool that's more flexible and all of that. And they don't. They haven't yet made, this has been years, by the way. They haven't made the transition. And it's because they're one of those minds that they understand that tool. And the level of effort to understand another tool is just insurmountable to them mentally. So that's fine. So guess what they do? They stick with the tool that they know. And are they producing results? Yep. And what I'm saying to you is you could be a digital marketer, a digital marketing professional, and that be you. You don't enjoy the process of playing with the new toy. Just today, I may be late to the party, but somebody, I think it was yesterday, told me about IntegraMAT. And I forgot about it. And then more recently, I remembered it. I don't even remember. Oh, I saw, I think somebody was asking about it elsewhere. And I was like, oh yeah, I was supposed to check that tool out. I got excited, everybody. Like, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't wait to go grab my iPad And, you know, because I wanted to be mobile so I can kind of blend in with what my family's doing, you know, just by kind of chill on the couch, you know, and open up my iPad and play with this toy. Well, look at that. See, I called it a toy. Play with this software. So if that's not you, if you don't get excited like that, and then you don't have the ability to really like understand the software quickly. Like when I'm looking at software, everybody, I'm seeing the possibility. It's so weird to explain it, but I'm literally looking at it and I've got all of these marketing use cases in my head. And I'm just like, ooh, and I just want to test them out. And if the software can handle those marketing use cases, it gets added to the potential stack that or potential tool that I would recommend. But if that's not you, you don't get excited. You don't look at software and view it as toys. Like it just kind of slipped out my mouth when I said it. That's how I look at it, though. You know, just stick with the ones that you know and have produced results with. OK, we are a very select group of folk. If I'm saying this and you're like, yeah, that's me, you know, very select group of folk. Welcome to the club. This is a very exclusive club. It's not for everybody. OK. And no shame if you're not in the club at all. OK, so that's on the technical side. Now, how do you assess yourself or your marketer's ability to properly assess technology for your benefit? So what I want to do is I'll provide like 4 points of the list of considerations that I go through and things that I don't let drive my decision. And first and foremost, let me say price. You better not. Let me calm down, okay? Because this angers me. I really do get angry of this because for the sake of free, I see people use the most ridiculous tools. Some of these tools have the dumbest name, everybody. I get it being creative and coming up with all of these different memorable techie names, but some of these tools are just flat out stupid. Like the name itself should tell you not to give them an ounce of your attention. And what will happen is people will see a deal, get it for free, and fall victim to the quote unquote sexy pricing. AppSumo is the biggest offender here. No knock against AppSumo, but everybody knows you need discipline if you're going to buy anything from AppSumo because all they do is present great deals, amazing deals. The problem is a lot of times when we're talking about marketing software, you cannot produce the results that you truly need with free tools in marketing. OK, stop it. Stop. Listen, for those of you using free tools right now, I want you to feel bad. OK, this is a rare occasion, but I want this to hurt so bad that you stop using free tools. And yes, I mean that free MailChimp account that allows you X amount of emails and X amount of contacts. That just means you don't believe in your marketing. That's all I hear. And that's all I see when someone's on MailChimp free plan and they claim that they're a business owner. You just don't trust your own marketing and you don't know what to do to truly produce results. Because everybody knows if you're going to really produce results, the tools that will do that for you cost money. OK, so I never let price determine ever try to throw free at me and think that I'm gonna be like, oh, free tool. Let me try it out. Absolutely not. I may try it out in my spare time, you know, and there are some gems out there at times. But off the level of effort it takes to find a gem in the sea of terrible free priced software or low cost software, it's not worth the effort. It really isn't. OK, so if all you want to use is free marketing tools. You really don't have an expectation of producing any real results. Eventually, you have to pay to play. You cannot make a fortune off of free. You can't do it. All right. So that's the first one. Price is a non-factor for me. Throw it out the window. If you're leading with free, you may catch my attention, but best believe. That is not passing with me. OK, so what is one thing that I do highly, highly recommend you move this up on your consideration list is integrations. I always research how a tool integrates with my CRM and other tools before I make the final decision. No matter how good the pricing is, no matter how good I like it, No matter how powerful the features are, if it doesn't integrate, it's dead to me. I'm serious. There have been very select times where I have done this. In fact, I'll name a time, Acuity. I really liked Acuity and I was using it outside of my holistic system at one point. And this was before Acuity had the Zapier integration that it has. It's really improved its Zapier integration over time. So it couldn't do certain things. And I didn't realize that until after the fact. So I was so dedicated to get Acuity to integrate with my CRM, I looked up the documentation and learned how to send a webhook from Acuity to my CRM so I could add a tag and cancel an appointment from within my CRM, from within an automation, in fact. I did that. That's how important integrations are to me. I put on my developer's hat. If I'm already using a tool that I really like and it falls short on the integration side, that's how important it is. If your tools don't play well with others, they do not need to be in your business. Do not fall victim to this. Everybody talking all in one. Use our platform for everything. It's not the case. Okay. So integrations is one of the most important, right behind it, years in business. Listen, I very, very rarely use new technology to power my business operations. I can't trust it. I love technology. Don't trust new technology. You need some years to work out the kinks. That's not to say I don't try it and test it. For example, Thrivecart is one of those that I bought early. I kind of broke my rule. The pricing, I was like, well, it wasn't free. Never mind. I didn't break my rule. It wasn't free. I had to invest early, you know, one of those lifetime deals. And it wasn't no cheap $50 and $100 type software. Right. But I bought it in early when I didn't necessarily need to use it. And as time went on and they improved it so much, it caught my attention. I said, hey, let me log into this account and see. And now to this day, I use Thrivecart for about 95% of my transactions in business. Okay. But for every one Thrivecart I purchased, there were at least 20 tools I said no to. So Thrivecart, in my experience, becomes one of those unicorns because it's just like, you know what? I've passed up on so many other tools that claim to have that same promise. And thankfully, it was right because those other tools did not deliver. Okay, so you want to look at years in business. I cannot for the life. Listen to me. If you have. See, the problem is most of you don't have a system in place that's producing real results, like big results, because if you did, you would never buy and deploy a tool that has not been around for at least a few years in your business, like to where it depends on it. Don't do it. The average age of software in my business is probably 5. And it may be higher than that. I don't have new software that I'm actively using in a process that is a critical path to lead generation and conversions to sales. I don't. They may be experimental on the side, but until that platform is proven, I don't use it in my business. So, okay. Last one is customer experience and or user flow. This may sound vain and it piggybacks off of what I mentioned earlier, but I can't use ugly software. I can't. If I log in and it looks like Microsoft Word 98, no matter how great it is, no matter how well priced it is, no matter how well it integrates, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Everybody call me vain. Say I'm shallow. I am in that respect. I like my tools to look good. I really do. And really, there's no excuse for your tool not looking good. Like they have frameworks that you could just download that literally will like does make your app at least look like every other app out there. You know, I forget what they're called. You know, it's a very technical term, but I forgot. So anyway, you don't have an excuse. In fact, the ugliest software I own right now is a software called BoxShot Kings. It's been around forever. So the thing is, I bought it back when what it looks like today back then was revolutionary. And, you know, the owner just hasn't updated it much. But look, it works so well. It's the one that I just look past that it doesn't look great. You know, it doesn't look terrible. It's not ugly. I'm saying ugly with respect to all of the tools that I'm using. This one just looks very, 2012-ish. We'll say it like that, right? So there are many times where I looked at other tools that do look better, but guess what? They didn't have the functionality, so I just stuck with what I knew. But that's the ugliest, quote unquote, that I get. But that wasn't it's an established business. I've been using this thing for almost 8 years now. Okay. So those are the four. The price, don't let that sway you. Integrations, yes. Years in business, yes. Customer experience, yes. Like, those are the things that I look for in a tool just to be a candidate. That is not the end all be all, everyone. There is a lot that goes into assessing the right software for a company. And it is a very valuable expertise to obtain, because here's what I found. The right tool can make a difference between losing 10 to 30K on average. I've seen this. Or saving thousands in monthly expenses. I've seen this as well. Or 10Xing your revenue within 6 months. Not only have I seen it, I've been a part of everything that I just listed. I've consulted with a startup for less than an hour and saved them 10 to 30K, in between 10 and 30K, just right there on the spot, just by, hey, this is the tool stack that you, this is the stack that you need. Instantly saving monthly expenses by cutting down tools that they don't need downgrading plans. Or, like I said, using the right tool, 10Xing within 6 months. The tools you use in your business are extremely important, and it's even more important you have a trusted advisor to help you navigate the ever-growing space. Okay, you need that. I can't tell you the number of fires I've prevented with just an upfront conversation about the current software stack and strategy to identify alignment. A lot of people talk about sales and marketing alignment. I'm always looking at strategy and software alignment, right? It's something I never set out to understand as valuable, but just have learned its value over time. And if you don't possess this skill, in closing, if you do not possess this skill, please do not pose like you do. As I mentioned, stick with the specific stack that you're comfortable with producing results with, and leave the exploration of other tools and software for your business to those who have a specialized skill set to do so. Allow them to be the resource to you. That's what I'm hoping today was, letting you off the hook, those of you who feel like, I have to be able to do this, and you're not good at it. That's why you have people like myself. You know, and that can assess technology quickly. I'm always experimenting with new software. People are always sending me, hey, Chris, have you seen this? Hey, can you check this out? Hey, can you log into this? Tell me if it fits. And I appreciate them for that. And I never knew it to be valuable in the beginning. But best believe, if you have this skill set, you are highly valuable. If you don't have the skill set, you need to get connected with somebody who does and leverage them. Got all kind of buddies that they text me or, you know, whatever. Hey, what about this? What do you think about HubSpot? Should I use HubSpot for this new startup or this new company that's doing XYZ? Yes, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, very quick, because I understand the software. So hopefully today's episode help you understand who you are and how to navigate. So the more important question is, who needed to hear that? Okay, maybe this one was for you. Like, look, I needed that. I'm free. I'm just going to stick with my one stack and I'm off to the races. So be it. Somebody else may have heard this and been like, oh my God, that's me. I didn't know it was valuable. How do I do more of it? You know, if that's you, honestly, I would like to invite you to one of my programs. The best way to get access and to learn about it is by attending my upcoming masterclass, automationbridge.com/systems. Okay. If that's you, if you got excited, like, hey, that's me. I love technology, but you can't just love technology and assessing it. You got to be equipped with strategy. And that's really the core focus of what I do and what I offer. So who needed to hear this? What CEO needed to hear this to be better at assessing who they lean on for their technology recommendations? because that person is tied to their results. So whoever you're asking, the results that you're getting in business, there's a correlation. So who needed to hear it? Make sure you share this episode with them. If you find it valuable, make sure, if you have not already, leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. All the episodes and show notes will be available at automationbridge.com/podcast. And again, if you're looking to learn more about systematizing your business, I'd like to invite you to register for my upcoming masterclass. I run it every week. It covers the fundamental systems every business needs in order to scale efficiently. automationbridge.com/systems. Go attend that masterclass. There is an opportunity for you to take the next steps and talk. You and I can talk and see if one of the programs that I offer is a good fit for you. If you really want to work on your software and strategy alignment to be more valuable in the space, that's where you do it. So until next time, automate responsibly, my friends.